This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3150 for Friday, the 28th of August 2020. Today's show is entitled GIMP Paint Tools and is part of the series GIMP. It is hosted by Ahuka and is about 18 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, with paint tools you begin to operate on the image.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is Ahuka welcoming you to Hacker Public Radio and another exciting episode in my ongoing series on GIMP. And I should just mention something to level set what's going on here, and that is I am using GIMP 2.8 on Kubuntu Linux 18.04.lts. And I mention that because it is not the current bleeding edge of things. I think GIMP is now 2.10 is the current. But it hasn't been offered up by my repository yet, and probably part of the reason is I'm working on a two-year-old version of the operating system. Now, there's a reason for that. It's an LTS release, and I stick with LTS releases. And the reason is that some years ago, I got very tired of working on my computer, and now I only work with my computer. So what I expect is probably going to happen is that I will be offered the next LTS version, which would be 2004, probably within a month or two, would be my guess. Usually it comes out in, you know, towards the end of summer. Because with LTS releases, they kind of wait until you at least get the 0.1 service pack before they offer to upgrade all the LTS installations. And chances are when that happens, I'll probably be able to upgrade to GIMP 2.10. But, you know, be that as it may, I don't think that's really going to have a huge effect on what we're doing here. This is a product that's been around for a long time, and I think most of what it will do is pretty well established. Now, I want to take another group of tools this time, and that is the paint tools. And that's another big group of tools, and this is towards the bottom of the tool section of the sidebar. You know, with the selection tools were at the top. These are at the bottom, and then next time we'll get to the transform tools, and so on. So the paint tools, you'll see there are 13 of them, and the first one looks like a paint bucket. Well, that's kind of a pretty good clue as to what's going on. Now, in the standard install, you'd see them at the bottom. Now, they can also be found by going to the tools menu. And note that if you move your cursor over an icon, the tooltip will pop up and give you the name. All but one of them also has a keyboard shortcut if you're into that sort of thing. Now, what are they? Well, there's Bucket Fill, which has the shortcut key of Shift B. Blend, which is the shortcut key of L. Pencil, which is a shortcut key of N. Paintbrush, with a shortcut key of P. Eraser, shortcut Shift plus E. Airbrush, shortcut A. Ink, shortcut K. Clone, shortcut C. heel, shortcut H, perspective clone. This one does not have a shortcut key, but I suspect it's because it's not something you do all that often. There's a blur sharpen, which has a shortcut of shift plus U, smudge, shortcut key of S, and dodge slash burn, shortcut key of shift plus D. Now, basically all of these tools, they're called paint tools because you basically use them by dragging a cursor around like a paintbrush. And as we saw with the selection tools, every tool has specific properties down in the bottom, the options that you can select that appear when the tool is selected. Now, to be clear, drawing with a mouse cursor is not going to work well in a lot of cases. Right? If you'd be doing a lot of that kind of work, you'd probably be better off investing in a tablet and stylus, which give you much better control over your drawing. But if you only need to do occasional quick and dirty stuff, a mouse can work if you're careful. And there are some aids. For example, trying to draw a straight line with just the mouse cursor will never look very good. But if you hold down the shift key, you can click on the beginning point of a line, with the shift key hold down, go then to the end point of the line, and GIMP will draw a straight line between the two points, and you'll be able to see it. If you do the same thing we did last time, open up a blank canvas, as we discussed in the last episode, by going to File, New, you can practice this stuff. Good idea to do that. And what you'll see is that if you're doing this right, when you hold down the shift key and start clicking, what is going to happen is there'll be a plus sign at the beginning of the line and another plus sign under the cursor as you move it to the other end of the line and the straight line connecting them. So you'll be able to see very easily what's going on. So once you do that, you can then just keep holding down the shift key and keep clicking and you'll get a connected series of straight lines. So that can be pretty handy. And if you hold down Control and Shift, you'll get what's called a constrained straight line. And what that means is it will constrain the line to the nearest multiple of 15 degrees. Now this is great for getting perfectly vertical, horizontal, or diagonal lines. Now, another concept to keep in mind here are foreground and background colors. Now, just below the Tools section on the sidebar, you will see two overlapping rectangles, with the top one covering part of the bottom one. The top one shows the foreground color, which will probably be black if you haven't changed it, and the bottom one shows the background color, which will probably be white if you haven't changed it. Now, if you click on one of the rectangles, you can change the color. Now, this matters because the paint tools generally use the foreground color for drawing. So being able to get the color you want is very helpful. Now, a brief look at the tools. Now, bear in mind, each tool has many optional property settings that fine-tune what they do. I won't go into all of the details here, but in the show notes, I've put a link to the online GIMP documentation. So if you want a lot more information on any of these, that's where you should go to get it. Now they have a documentation that covers different release versions. So I'm linking to the 2.8 because that's what I'm using. If you're using 2.10, it's just to change one number in the URL and you'll get there as well. So, what are these tools? Bucket fill, shift plus B. Now, what this does is it fills an area with the current foreground color. But if you hold down the control key while clicking, it fills it with the background color. So either one is available to you depending on using a keyboard selector there. Pretty simple. You select a color, you select an area, and the area gets filled with the color. Blend, which is shortcut key of L. This fills a selected area with a gradient blend of the foreground and background colors. So a gradient means it's going to gradually shift from one color to the other. As you move from left to right, on the left will be the foreground color, and then as you move to the right, less and less of the foreground color is there, and more of the background color comes through. Now you have two main areas of selection here, the gradient itself, and then there's also shape. So you can create gradients that are linear, which would be what I just described, but you can also have gradients that are circular and conical, and you can take a look at all the different options there. Pencil, shortcut key of N. This tool and the paintbrush tool are similar, differing mostly in that the pencil lines have hard edges and the paintbrush tool has fuzzy edges. Hard edges are good when you need a high degree of precision. To get a straight line, click the beginning of the line, then hold down the shift key and click the end point of the line. By default, the line will be in the foreground color. You can use the background color, though, by holding down the control key. Or if you like, you can switch the colors around. If you take a look at those overlapping rectangles on the left sidebar, and you look in the just the upper right of where those two rectangles are, there's a double arrowhead. One arrow pointing horizontally, the other arrow pointing vertically down. And if you click that, it swaps the positions of foreground and the colors of foreground and background. So background will now become foreground, foreground will now become background. Paintbrush. Okay. Similar to the pencil, except that the line is a bit fuzzier on the edges. But this is a good opportunity to point out you can select different brushes to use for both this tool and the pencil tool by going to the brushes section on the bottom of the right sidebar. And we'll talk about brushes a little bit more later. It certainly deserves at least an episode in itself, but I just mention it here because you do have some options. Now, the eraser, Shift plus E, as you would expect, erases or removes color from an area. The result will be either the background color coming through, or if there's an alpha channel, some transparency will show up. Now, transparency in GIMP is indicated by a grayscale checkerboard pattern. And what that means is that when the image is finally rendered, you won't see anything where there is that transparency. So this can be useful, particularly if you're working with masking layers. And again, layers is something we haven't talked about yet. Hold your horses, we're going to get there. This is the part that is probably least interesting. It's just going through all of the different things you can do. But it should be more fun when we get to actually looking at doing things. Now, the next tool is the airbrush. And the airbrush is for painting soft areas, and it works by making the painting lighter. So, as an example, if the foreground color is red, and you select the airbrush tool and draw a line, it'll paint something closer to pink. You know, just a lighter shade. The ink tool, shortcut K. This tool imitates a pen, and it can be used to create calligraphy effects. Now, you would have to experiment a little to see how it works, but as with a pen, you can control things like the size of the nib, and the angle at which it is applied. Clone tool, shortcut C. This tool lets you copy from an existing image or pattern. It is used a lot in repairing photos, for instance, where you can paint over an artifact in the image with nearby pixels that were unaffected. But it can also copy patterns. Note that if you're trying to copy from an image that has multiple layers, you need to select the layer first by holding down the Control key and clicking on that layer. The Heal tool is next, and the Heal tool is related to the Clone tool, but is perhaps more powerful for small changes at least. It not only copies pixels over, but also takes into account, through a clever algorithm, of the area surrounding the target. This can help, for example, in removing wrinkles from photographs. Now, Perspective Clone. Perspective is based on the idea of vanishing lines, one of the great breakthroughs of Renaissance painting, which is to draw the line showing how things further away from you seem to get smaller and closer to each other because of the distance. Think about what happens if you're looking down a railroad track. It might be perfectly straight and they might be perfectly parallel, but they give the impression that the rails are somehow approaching each other as you go further down the tracks. So it's just a visual, the way we see things when we're looking. To use the Perspective Clone tool, you start by drawing the vanishing lines and then clone an image that will get smaller as it goes into the distance. And if you keep adding clones, they also get closer together in the distance. In the GIMP documentation, the example they give is an image of a road that you might create. Think about that road having dashed white lines down the center. Well, Perspective Clone would let you create those dashed white lines as clones of the original one, and the further you go, the smaller and closer together they seem to be. And that's what it would look like if you were looking at such a road. Now, the Blur Sharpen tool, Shift plus U. This tool can either blur part of an image or sharpen part of an image. Each pass of the cursor adds a little more effect. So this can be useful for adding something to a small portion of an image. But if you want to affect the entire image, there are filters that are really much better suited to that task. Now you can switch between blur and sharpen by holding the Control key. Smudge. Shortcut key S. This tool does what it says. So let's imagine you were going to write something in ink or paint something and then rubbed your thumb across it while the ink or paint was still wet. Well, what would happen? You would get a smudge, wouldn't you? This tool emulates that. As you move the cursor across, it picks up color and starts mixing it in as you move the cursor. So as you drag it across the image, you're going to get that kind of effect. And finally, the Dodge/Burn tool, shortcut key Shift-D. This tool is used to lighten or darken pixels in an image. Now you can switch between lighten and darken with the Control key. There is also a range selector in the properties area that will restrict the tool to affecting only the darkest areas, shadows, midtones, or lightest areas, highlights. You can see how this might be useful for photo retouching. So, in summary, a very brief introduction to the various painting tools in GIMP. As with the selection tools, I'd advise a little play and practice to see how each of these works. Create a white canvas and start drawing on it. Create freeform lines, straight lines, and constrained lines, and see how the brush selections affect things. And with that, this is Ahuka for Hacker Public Radio signing off and advising you as always to support free software. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.